This is a reading from Mark chapter 9, verse 2 to 8. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became a dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them. And a voice from a cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus.
Children, I'd love you to put your listening ears on. So can you put your listening ears on? Adults, I'd love you to have Mark 9 in front of you if you can, if you can possibly see that. Why do we do these all-age services? We do them partly so that the team who stood up and we prayed for earlier can have a rest, but partly because we can all be together. And so we can all learn together as well. So this isn't just a talk, children, for you, but also for the grown-ups. So should we just pray for our mums and dads to listen really hard? Should we pray for them? Let's put our hands together. Heavenly Father, help us all to listen to your word, and as we just sung, to be ready to obey King Jesus. Help us all. Amen. Amen. Well, this is an absolutely massive moment for Peter, James, and John, some of Jesus' friends, and it could be a really massive moment for any of us here today as well, for any of us. Now, there are lots of big moments in life. Learning to walk. Can you put your hand up if you can walk? Oh, well done. Well done. That's a big achievement, isn't it? And one or two little hands not quite ready to go up there. Another big moment, learning to ride your bike. Who's reached that stage? Very grown up if you can do it, riding the bike. Ralph can do it super fast. Another big moment, meeting the Queen. Has anyone done that? Yeah, the one or two. I've never met the Queen. Getting a pen license at school, so you're allowed to write with a pen. Has anyone reached that point? Apparently that's something. Kate, well done, Kate. Jesus' friends here have a massive moment, and I want us to think about what they saw and then what they heard. So first of all, let's get your goggles out. What did they see? Well, verse 2, if you can see, they're on a mountain, which is pretty exciting. Has anyone ever climbed a mountain? I'm going to climb up. This is my mountain. So they're on a mountain, which would have been pretty exciting. And maybe they had a great view, like on Lancing Ring, when you can see right down everywhere. Maybe they've got a packed lunch with them and a rope, and they're having a campfire. And it's really, really exciting. It's a great adventure. But do you know what? For these guys, what made it a massive moment? Thanks, Ralph. What made it the most massive moment is what they saw of Jesus. Now I've got a special guest for us. Let's meet our special guest. Is he ready? We've got a special guest. Now let's just come back. Here we go. We've got a special guest, and we need to try and work out who it is. So maybe let's ask some questions, shall we? Hello, special guest. Are you a boy or a girl?
Oh, I'm a boy.
A boy. Okay. Who wants to ask a question? Who wants to ask a question? Yep.
How are you?
How are you, special guest?
I'm pretty good today.
Pretty good?
Very much.
Special guest, do you like cats or dogs more?
Oh, I kind of like them both, but I prefer to live with a dog.
Okay. Any other questions we could ask?
Is your surname Hart, by any chance?
I'm afraid I'll have to ask a friend.
Any other question anyone want to ask? Yep, Ralph.
Is it Dave? Yeah, I thought.
Well, I'm not allowed to lie, Barnaby. You'll have to sit and take it.
I had one more question. Do you think there's a health and safety issue if I'm standing on a table on the stage?
Yes, and I've already filled out the ride.
Right. Who are you? It is Dave. Well done. Thank you, Dave, very much. Thank you.
Walking around on the planet is not great either.
Well, do you know what, children? Jesus has a big reveal moment, a blanket off moment on the mountain. Okay, now, Jesus' friends had known him in a way like under a blanket. Jesus was a carpenter, and the Bible says there was nothing about his appearance, what he looked like, that we should be attracted to him. In other words, he was pretty ugly. But they were just starting to see something special in Jesus. They started to see that he had the power to heal the sick and raise the dead and even calm a storm. They started to see that Jesus had a love like no one else's love that they'd ever met. They were getting some clues. Do you remember the smelly welly? They were getting all the clues about what Jesus was, and they started to think, a bit like you were going, with Dave. You started to get an idea of who it was. And they were starting to think, maybe Jesus is God's great hero, the Messiah. And then on the mountain, the blanket comes off for them. So verse 2, adults, can you see it there? It says, he was transfigured among them. In other words, his appearance changed completely, like a caterpillar turns into a butterfly. And it goes on, his clothes became dazzlingly white, whiter than anyone could ever bleach them. Now, do you know what? Only God ever appeared like that in the Bible. Daniel 7 on the screen, God's clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was as white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire. Jesus is suddenly appearing like God the Son. Wow, massive moment. And verse 4 adds that Elijah and Moses turned up. Now, if you're brand new to the Bible, Elijah was the greatest prophet in the Bible, and Moses is the greatest leader. These are the big guns of the Old Testament. And though long dead, they suddenly turn up talking to Jesus. Now, you've all known me about a year. And imagine this morning that you turned up at church and everything was blocked up by a load of limousines. And the crowds are lining the way and the camera crews are going. And out of one limousine steps Cristiano Ronaldo, the football player. And out of another limousine steps the billionaire Mark Zuckerberg, who set up Facebook. And then out of the largest limousine steps me. And Cristiano and Mark dash over and start talking to me. Well, I guess the view you have of me at that moment would change very much indeed. It would, of course, be a false view. But for these disciples, as Jesus suddenly up on the mountain, shining like the sun, with Elijah and Moses speaking to him, suddenly their view of him rightly changes. Wow, blanket off, God's Son, massive moment. And you see, before Jesus came, the first Christmas as a man, he had been actually forever and ever in heaven, glorious, beautiful, powerful, God's Son. After he died and then rose again, he returned to heaven. Glorious, beautiful, powerful, God's Son. It's actually only for just a brief 30 years or so that he was, as it were, under a blanket of human frailty. And Jesus, of course, did that so that people like us could meet God himself and come close to him. But here at the Transfiguration, and this is why this is such a significant passage and such a significant moment, is the blanket comes off for them. Now, children, can we do a quick recap of what we've seen so far, just to check the adults have been listening, okay? Question number one, is all this happening? Is it happening on a mountain or in a boat? What do you think? Mountain, okay, easy. Okay, question for somebody else who didn't just call out. Does Jesus shine purple or does he shine bright white? What do we think? White, well done. And then who appears? Is it David and Goliath? Do they appear? Or is it Elijah and Moses? Elijah and Moses. Well done. So this is what they saw. Okay, and I'd love you just to do a quick colouring for me while I try to apply this to the grown-ups. I wonder if Erica, would you give those out? I want you to try and capture this for me, children. I'd love to see that in a moment. Now, if I could then just apply what we've just been learning for us. When people tend to explore Christian things, it seems to me that there are a number of steps that people take. Step one might be just to see what happens in here. So you come in, which is actually quite a big step. So well on you if you've done that. And you notice that actually most of us are kind of normal, I hope. If we come across as, if we are weird, it's because we were weird before we were Christians, rather than that Christianity changed us in that way. And you come in and you see what we do here. You know, we sing and have some things for children and we have some coffee later and that sort of thing. That might be step one for you. And you kind of go, okay, I got that. That's what they do here. Step two is to see what we're actually about here. So that you see that although we like to sing, we're not a choir. And although we love to spend a bit of time with each other, we're not just a social club, we're about Jesus and living and loving him. And at that point, a lot of people, I would sympathize very much with you if you sit there kind of going, huh? I mean, mate, you know, Jesus is an ancient figure of history. What's this all about, living for him? You know, what? I get that he was very loving and he taught some great things, but seriously, why take him so seriously? And somebody might leave thinking, well, that's okay for them, but I don't really see what Jesus has to say or to do for me. Step one, step two. Step three is that moment when the blanket comes off and you see for yourselves that Jesus isn't just a guy from history, but he's God's glorious son. The one who made you, the one who one day you're going to meet, the one who gives you everything you know and have. That is a moment that needs to happen for every one of us. And sometimes it's a very sudden moment, like for them. Other times, very gradual. Sometimes emotional. For others, it's just kind of weighing things up and going, yeah, I can see, yeah, I can see who Jesus is. For some people, it's full of confusion. Can you see, just look down at verse 5 there. There's Peter. Should we get some tents out? He didn't know what to say. For others, there's fear. Verse 6, if you look there, they're terrified. We are face to face with God. Someone told me this week that they first started following Jesus because of the fear of hell. Lots of reasons, lots of ways in which this works out. But we all need to have this massive moment. I wonder if you'd be willing to pray today. Lord Jesus, you showed yourself to your disciples. Please show yourself to me through the Bible. I wonder if you'd be willing to pray that. You know, I need to keep praying something like that. However long somebody has been a Christian, we can think of Jesus much more as the carpenter than as our creator, can't we? We can think of Jesus as just a man rather than mighty God. And yes, Jesus came on a donkey humbly, and we often remember that on today, don't we? Though, of course, it's just a human tradition, so I hope we're okay about holding sort of lightly to that, given our series. But yes, Jesus came humbly on a donkey. Yes, he came in love to die on a cross. But what will make those truths life-changing for us? What will make them melt our hearts and blow our minds is that when you realize that the guy on the donkey and the guy on the cross is God's son, God became humble. God bled for you. And so we pray, Jesus, show yourself to me. Keep showing yourself to me. Now, you know, straight after the mountain, the disciples are in the valley. And we read they failed pretty badly or something. And then a few days later, they see Jesus being beaten up by his enemies and mocked and stripped and killed on a cross, seemingly defeated. They needed to see at the transfiguration. We need to see that despite all our failures and weakness, and the weakness of the church, and despite the way that Jesus is so often mocked and belittled by so many in the world today, he's God's son. Well, so much for what they saw. Verse 7, then a cloud appeared and covered them. And a voice came from the cloud, this is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Now, I'm afraid the budget at Lancing Tab did not reach to a smoke machine. So this is my cloud, okay? This is my cloud. It's not really a cloud, is it? But it's the best I could do. Now, like these bubbles, the cloud covered all of them. And I think it was a supernatural cloud. I think it would have been quite terrifying, actually. Not quite as fun as all this. And then a voice, the voice of God the Father, speaks. And he says this. Let me turn it off now. Again, I'm going to put that on later. And we'll have a little bit more. Let's sit down. What did they hear? The voice of God the Father saying. Let's sit down. Here's what the voice of God the Father said. Jesus is there. And the voice of God the Father says, this is my son. And I love him. Listen to him. Now, sometimes children, I need your help at this point. Turn and look at me. Sometimes people say the Bible's very confusing and complicated. And there are some bits. But what does God the Father want us to do today? What did he say? Listen to Jesus. Can we shout that out? Listen to Jesus. So what does God want your mum and dad to leave doing today? Listen to Jesus. What about the older folk who, don't they know everything already? Hold on, what do they need to do? Listen to Jesus. What about you guys? What does God want children to learn today? What do we need to do? Listen to Jesus. Okay, now you can listen to music, you can listen to your friends and teenagers, you can listen to social media influencers, you can listen to your feelings and fears within, can't you? Or you can put these on and you can listen to nobody. Or God says, listen to Jesus. That's incredibly rare, even in the Bible, for a booming voice to come from heaven. So this must be important, mustn't it? God really wants our attention. You've got to listen. And in one of the only other, one of the main sermons in the whole of Mark, that Mark records, Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, makes the same point. He says, whoever has ears, let them hear. Let them hear. And then in verse 8, if you have a look down, it drives home all of this, doesn't it? As Elijah and Moses, the great spokespeople of the Old Testament, are gone, and Jesus is left. Listen to him, is the message. Why? Because relationship requires listening. So children, have you ever gone to mummy or daddy, and you pull on their sleeve, and you go, mummy, 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 mummy. Mummy, mummy, listen. Mummy, 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 mummy. Because you want them to listen to you, don't you? And God is saying to us, listen. Listen to Jesus. So that we don't just make him up. Lots of people say, oh, I have my own kind of faith. And that it might be there's somebody here who has been in that sort of position recently. I have my own kind of faith. But isn't there a danger that is really just saying, I'm putting these on. I'm not going to listen, not even to Jesus, to what he says he's really about and what he's like. I'll just decide myself. I'll make it up. There is a danger of that, isn't there? Or there's the person who says, well, I follow the traditions of my church. Thank you very much. And we always do this and we do this and we've always been told to do this and I follow the traditions. And God is saying to us, is your whole church willing to listen to Jesus and change? Or have we all, in fact, basically just got these on as a church? One of the motto, the motto at Lancing Tab is that we're a living church listening to Jesus in the center of Lancing. But the challenge is, are we doing that? Are we listening? If you're a new parent, if you've been listening to Jesus about how to go about that, I'd love to show you some passages. It's something we've got to keep doing, listen to Jesus. If you're recently become a boss at work and you're managing other people, have you been listening to the Bible about how to do that? Maybe someone's become a new big brother or sister. Have we been listening to Jesus about how to be a loving big brother or sister? Maybe you're retired. Are we listening to Jesus about that new phase of life? I'm the pastor. Am I listening to Jesus about how to run a church? When was the last time that we changed our minds on something because of this? Or the way that we talk to people, or our attitudes? Got to listen. Now, children, I think you've been absolutely brilliant at listening. And so I've got just a little biscuit, which I'm going to ask Erica to give you one each. While I'd just love to just talk to the mum and dads and try and drive this home for us as we close. You see, in the flow of Mark, specifically, we're being called to listen to Jesus about the cross. So just have a look back at Mark chapter 8, verse 31. Mark 8, 31. It says, "Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man, he must suffer many things and go to the cross." That's his mission. Verse 32, he spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. So Peter's trying to tell Jesus what to do. And then up the mountain, God the Father's effectively saying, "Peter, shut up for a moment and listen to Jesus instead. You don't get to tell him what to do. Listen to Jesus, particularly about the cross." That our greatest problem is not the conflict in Ukraine or COVID or climate change or energy prices, as serious as those are, and we're right to be praying about them and concerned. It wasn't Peter, the occupation of the Romans. That wasn't your biggest problem. Worse than all of these, the greatest problem that should occupy our minds so much more, Jesus has been teaching over the last few weeks, is sin. That issue of selfishness and rebellion against the God who made us, that's in all of our hearts, yes, even in children. And that means that when we die, we deserve God's judgment. If we listen to Jesus about that, has it occupied our minds and prayers? And then if we start to understand what Jesus says about that, then we get what he says in verse 31 when he says that he must suffer and die in our place. We might want Jesus to do lots of things for our world and in our lives, but the most loving thing that he could ever do was to bear all the rubbish bags of our sin, all the filth, and to carry that to the cross and to take the judgment so that we could be forgiven. Listen to Jesus about the cross. Rather than telling him what you think his mission should be. And listen to Jesus, therefore, about what discipleship means. Take up your cross, deny yourself, follow him. You've been saying, "Well, I want discipleship to really just be easy for me or for my children. I don't want the cost, thank you very much." And God the Father says, listen to Jesus. He's been teaching you about discipleship. Listen to Jesus that you mustn't be ashamed of him. So as we come into our Easter program and we're thinking about inviting friends, God the Father says, "I love my son. Will you love him too? Will you listen to him? You'd be unashamed. Bring someone along." I have to say, children and grown-ups, I think the more I go on in life, the worse I get at listening. See a few smiles there. Maybe that's because you've experienced me not listening. Maybe it's your own experience. The more I go on, the more I need to hear this. "This is my son, whom I love," says God. Listen to him. Let me pray. Father, we want to humbly bow before Jesus. We want to recognize what the disciples saw that day, that he is the glorious Son of God, greater than all the other Old Testament figures, the one who should be right at the center of our attention and our love. And we need to listen to him. I want to pray that you'd give me ears to hear. Help us all see Jesus in a fresh and greater light this Easter time. In his name we pray. Amen.